Eye on Careers.
In association with LeMoon.com. Jobs, courses, and all things career.
Welcome to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips. This is the show where we look at the region's biggest success stories. Sometimes on the road of life, you need directions to get to where you're going. Sometimes you need a little extra something to get that motor running. Well, I can tell you, tonight our interviews are going to do just that. We're going to take a look at the auto market in the second half of the show and look at what's happening in the UAE and the GCC. It's going to be a little bit of German engineering meets American muscle. The managing director of Audi Middle East and the director of Ford Middle East are going to come in and share their views and insights onto what's happening in the car market out here and where are we going. It's pretty exciting too, because when you look at it, you know, most of the other regions are pretty stale, flat, if not negative growth, while, you know, our region, one of the fastest growing in the world, whether you're looking at automotive or hospitality or retail, it's life in the fast lane, I guess, out here for us. So thank God for that. And, you know, you can't just be successful coming up things once. You have to be tenacious. You have to be persistent. So we don't just have one success story that we're looking at tonight. We have two, and our first guest is a lady by the name of Eileen Wallace. She's managing partner of Portsmouth Group. And for all those working women out there, this is one alpha female you don't want to miss. She's going to be giving her insights on how to make it in the PR game and what it takes to be successful in a career in PR. She started her own PR firm and she's doing fantastically well. I think most people in Dubai are doing fantastically well these days. So I think it's got to be one of the best cities to do business in. And so that's our lineup tonight. And but before we start, you know, one of the other fascinating markets and the fastest growing markets is actually digital media. You know, the media space is growing at, you know, I think 30%. And here to tell us a little bit more about it is Bobby Hartshorn, head of guidance and career partnerships for LeMoon.com, your career channel. Bobby, are you there? I almost called you LeMoon.
LeMoon a lot.
Do you? Do people think your name is LeMoon?
Quite often they ask us if we're really called LeMoon, yeah.
But you call the people who work at LeMoon, they're like LeMoonanites or something like that, isn't it?
LeMooners.
LeMooners. That almost sounds explicit. I don't know. But you've been doing some studying into this exciting space, the digital media.
What
you're looking at, this is all new, right? Lots of these roles or lots of these jobs didn't even exist 3 years ago, 4 years ago.
Exactly. And I mean, it really has been a revolution of quite some speed, really. And actually, the UAE is particularly well placed to take advantage of it. They actually have the highest smartphone penetration in the whole world at 74%, which means that people are using smartphones for their everyday activities through the internet. They're purchasing through their phone, they're browsing through their phone, they're doing anything that would formerly have traditionally been done on a PC. They're now typically doing it through their phone. So mobile, social development, digital is just huge here. The market is absolutely thriving with customers who want to access those platforms.
So what do the jobs look like, and what are those salaries can we expect for people in this segment?
It's really interesting. What we've started to see, although actually a lot of companies are yet to sort of take on digital and social within their business strategy, what we have started to see is that the bigger companies and also the government sectors as well have taken this very seriously and have adopted very quickly here. And they are now absolutely absolutely desperate for people who've got expertise in this field. And there's a real shortage of expertise because it is such a new area of sort of career development.
Well, I would say that there can't be any expertise if the whole segment's only 3 years. Oh, it's like, exactly. I'm an expert. I've been working in this for 36 months. Like,
well,
wow.
Exactly. And also,
it's amazing.
It's not only that. It's a segment that moves at colossal speed. So to stay being an expert in inverted commas is almost impossible. You've got to be constantly ahead of the game, innovating, seeing what's happening, implementing that, then changing it 2 months later. It's a really, really fast-paced sector. Having said that, anybody who has got particularly digital experience, but also social, the Google Analytics side of things, the pay-per-click concept, anyone with skills developing content that is SEO rich, all of those guys are in high demand, and they're in high demand for big names, Etihad, Visa, Digitas, LBI, the Chalhoub Group, Emirates, even companies in the entertainment sector like the World Wrestling Entertainment Company are currently hiring people with digital.
The World Wrestling? Like the Hulkamaniac?
And what you gonna do, Macho Man, when the whole world full of Hulkamaniacs destroy you?
Oh my God, it was a Hulkamaniac?
Is that
what you're talking about? They're hiring?
I'm looking for a digital expert, yeah.
Maybe they could hire Macho Man Randy Savage.
Hey, listen to this, Hulk Hogan. I hate you. I hate your guts. And that's what's going to be left all over the mat after WrestleMania 5.
I can't imagine how many people will just die to work for. I mean, it's a perfect fit, right? Because I think these guys who are playing the video games, doing all of this media digital stuff, they've got to be hardcore wrestling fans.
Absolutely. And they've got to know how to take that to a very digital and socially aware audience. You know, that audience is generally quite young and very much based on the latest trends and fashions and what's cool online and stuff. So, you know, to have a really strong presence in that space is absolutely essential to the success of that company. So, there's some really exciting things going on with digital and social. And the really nice thing that's started to happen here in the UAE, probably more so than in the rest of the region, is that education has followed suit, actually. So the education partners and providers here have realized that there's a significant lack of training opportunities. And because this sector is so new, it doesn't have professional certificates, really, in the same way that other areas do. So what's happened is individual companies have stepped up to that gap and have said, right, we will develop a diploma in digital marketing, or we will do a one-day workshop which is going to make you an expert in Google AdWords, Google Analytics. We'll put on a week-long training program so that you can develop apps on mobile phones for your company. And those courses are ready and are really, really popular here in the UAE. And it means that those people who maybe haven't got every skill, aren't yet that expert that the industry needs, can access education that's going to put them ahead of their peers and give them the best opportunities to work for some of these top name companies.
So I can go to lemoon.com and sign up for a mobile app making course?
Yeah, an iOS application development course. Yep.
On LeMoon.com. That's what I needed. I needed the iOS development app course.
Yeah. There's Google AdWords and Analytics. There's social media marketing. There's Adobe Photoshop, which is great for anybody who wants to start looking into the imagery and how imagery portrays a brand. I mean, images supposedly make 94% higher engagement level on the internet. So if you don't know how to present images and create images, then you're losing 94% of your engagement potential. So having a tool like Adobe Photoshop and expertise of that within your business is absolutely core to your success online.
So as they say, no finance, no romance. So what are people making in this ever new?
Yeah, I mean, it's quite interesting, actually. It's it's one of those sectors that, or one of those areas of development that sort of hasn't yet reached its peak, I don't think, in terms of salary. So at the bottom end, the graduate entry position, those people who are sort of new to the industry, they're looking to earn about 5,000 to 7,000 AED a month. And then if you'll then step up, and you should step up fairly quickly because, as we say, there's a lot of demand and not a great deal of skill. So the step up to the manager role should be fairly swift. And that would bring you up to about 15 to 20,000 dirhams a month. And then senior of that, you're looking up to upwards of sort of 25,000, 35,000. I would expect to see that go higher and higher over the next 12 to 18 months because as the demand increases and as the skill levels become higher, those individuals are going to be incredibly sought after and the companies are going to have to pay quite significant salaries to get the very best directors of social and digital within their companies. And the return on investment for them, given the penetration of how many people are using social and digital within the market, should be very strong. So investing in top talent here would certainly be very, very highly recommended.
So now you can't just go green, you have to go digital.
Yeah,
that's a new one. Huh?
And ideally green and digital.
Clean, green, and digital. All right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Is there anything else there that...
I think that's it. I mean, as I say, just for those who are looking for more insight into this, want a bit more detail, want to find out about those courses, then obviously visit us at laymoon.com and come and see us, come and chat to us and see how we can help you develop a career there.
Well, that was Hulk Hogan, Macho Man, Randy Savage, and Bobby Hartshorn from laymoon.com, your career channel. Bobby, thank you so much for giving that little, sharing some of your drops from your fountain of knowledge with us this evening.
My pleasure.
Okay, talk to you soon. Next up, we have a lady who started her own business who decided to trailblaze through the jungles of the PR world and has a thriving business, recognized as one of the top PR professionals here in the GCC. Let's hear a little bit about her back.
This is Eye on Careers, Executive CV.
Eileen Wallace is the managing partner of the Portsmouth Group. Eileen Wallace has more than 15 years of PR experience in the Middle East and is one of the region's most trusted communications advisors. She has provided strategic counsel to ministers, CEOs, company presidents and director-level executives in more than 50 organizations around the world and in the region. Under her direction, the Portsmouth Group manages regional communication strategies for clients in retail, hospitality, luxury, arts, entertainment and technology sectors. Before becoming a founding partner with the Portsmouth Group, Eileen was the client services director at Wallace Marketing Consultants and previously served as the Marcoms manager for Oracle Middle East across the 9-country region. Prior to extensive work in the Middle East, Eileen was responsible for regional marketing for Washington, D.C.-based telecommunications group MCI. She holds both undergraduate and graduate degrees from American universities.
Eileen Wallace, welcome to Eye on Careers.
Thank you for having me, Shane.
It's a pleasure to have you here, and I keep bumping into your work. So you're quite active, actually, here in the Dubai market.
In the Dubai market, and actually the regional market as well. So you'll hopefully bump into the Portsmouth Group in places like Doha and Saudi Arabia as well.
Excellent. So tell us, you know, you were working for another PR firm, is that right?
I was. That is actually a PR firm still very happily in existence today, called Wallace Marketing Consultants. It's a sister agency to ours, and about 8 years ago, it just made sense to have two separate PR brands, and that's where in the position that we're in today.
Excellent. So what was the final straw that basically you said, that's it, I'm quitting, I'm resigning, I don't need this? was in the middle of a boardroom meeting and you were like, that's it.
No, it was. It wasn't that dramatic moment. I think about 8 years ago, my partners and I saw the opportunity to have a separate brand that would focus on these specific growth industries like the retail sector or the hospitality sector, arts and culture. So we saw the opportunity to really expand in those sectors and expand in different markets around the region. And that's where the idea for the Portsmouth Group came in.
So it was more just opportunity knocks and you're like, I can do this.
Absolutely.
And, but you were saying that this is one of the most stressful jobs in the world.
You know, I read a study. I don't, sadly don't have the information in front of me, but I read a study within the last year or so that said being a PR professional is not quite on par, but in the same realm, within the same sort of top five jobs as being a firefighter, a surgeon, someone senior in military command. And I think that's because a key element of good communications is anticipating things that might go wrong, but it's impossible always to anticipate what might go wrong and to avoid those surprises. So that's when the stressful elements of our job come in. But actually, one of our areas of specialty and something that I personally really enjoy doing is issues management and crisis communications, which is definitely a growing aspect of the communications field here in the region.
Right. Well, we're so connected now. So, you know, if there's a problem with a bottle of Coke in Tokyo, you know, you'll know about it within 30 minutes.
Absolutely.
In LA.
Absolutely. I mean, all of our sort of consumers that our clients look after are highly connected, as I think your previous guest, Bobby, was saying. Everyone has smartphones in the region these days. It's the rise of sort of citizen journalism through social media. And the industries in which the Portsmouth Group focuses and the ones we most enjoy, retail, hospitality, entertainment, shopping malls, that's unfortunately places where things can go unexpected in a short amount of time. So we like to have crisis communications and issues management strategies in place for those clients to anticipate anything that might occur.
This is Eileen Wallace, the managing partner of the Portsmouth Group, and she's sharing her insights into how to make it in the PR game. We'll hear more of her secrets to success in just a minute. Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips, and we are here listening to the story of a woman who went out and started her own business, took the jump, handed in her resignation one day, and went out and started her own PR firm. Her name's Eileen Wallace. She's the managing partner of the Portsmouth Group. Eileen, welcome back to Eye on Careers.
Thanks, Jane.
It's a pleasure to have you here. And I guess you were just talking about one of the growing areas within PR is crisis management and helping manage, I guess it's reputational risk for organizations.
Exactly right.
And I guess a large part of this takes place on this new medium, which Bobby Hartshorn was just talking to us about from LeMoon.com, your career channel, saying that this is one of the biggest growing areas for jobs, for career growth, is digital officers, SEO management, and et cetera, et cetera. So we're seeing this kind of explosion across, which is now cascading across industries. And you're feeling it yourself.
Absolutely. The Portsmouth Group and I think many PR agencies in the region are investing in talent of the exact same type that Bobby was mentioning in terms of wanting to have colleagues on staff who are savvy in social media and digital marketing and can advise our clients about the best strategies of retaining and going out and winning new customers and really monetizing their business. And there's been, I think, significant debate over the last 3 years, 4 years about who owns social media. Is it advertising agencies? Is it special dedicated social media agencies? Is it PR agencies? And my argument would be that it's communications consultancies like ours, which actually develop, create, own the content, sort of the story and the narrative that companies are sharing with their customers and their stakeholders in the market. And from that perspective, there's actually a lot of sense, a lot of wisdom in having your communications consultancy also advise you and in some cases execute for you on a social media platform.
Isn't that part of the problem, though, as you move into selling a new product or service in an industry that's new? You know, whose P&L does the actual cost go on to? Is it marketing's? Is it communications.
It should be. I mean, those are all sort of different arms, let's say, of the same tree of sales and marketing, usually, and social media, communications, direct marketing, et cetera. That all tends to, those tend to be elements of that specific area of the business.
So you know, companies now are being much more active in how they're doing it, but do they really get it, you know? Because when I see them communicating online is they're doing it the same way we were communicating in the 1860s. They're acting like it's a print ad.
I think there's always a scope for improvement, and as you were discussing with Bobby, it's a relatively new sector, so of course mistakes are going to be made, and they're going to be made in some cases in very public and humiliating ways, but best practice is being developed, and because it is a communications channel, the most important thing that companies need to know, and individuals need to know as well, when they embark on social media strategies is, it needs to be a consistent flow. It's a conversation, so it needs to be a consistent flow of communications. I think much like public relations as a communications tool, companies have thought with social media that they can turn it off and on like a tap, and you can't, because that would be poor form. That would be bad etiquette. That's not how you would have a conversation with somebody at a party or at an event. You wouldn't sort of start and stop talking to them.
Sometimes you do, though, at a party. Sometimes, party, like, I really need to go to the bathroom now. Excuse me.
Okay.
There's, all right. Sorry, yeah, but
we
no,
may
you're
not
right.
Have that
no,
on.
You're right. I'm teasing. No, it's true. You're right. You have to. Yeah, it would be rude.
So consistency and having that conversation, and the tone is different. I think that's something that we see often in this part of the world as well with companies that are relatively new to social media. Is that their tone can be very corporate. It can be sometimes assertive. It doesn't sound natural. It doesn't have that nice flow that we have in kind of regular discourse or regular conversation with people. So these are just some of the things that companies need to keep in mind when they're embarking on their social media strategies.
And what, you know, what do you see as the future for PR? Do you think it's going to continue to grow here, or is the market going to get squeezed? Is there lots of room? Oh, because it seems like there's a lot of PR companies out there.
There are many, many like mushrooms springing up in the field. But the good news is I think that the pie is large enough, not only here in the UAE, but in the wider region. And what we see in PR is what companies see in every industry. If you are providing a quality service to the market and you're delivering it in a way that keeps your customers satisfied, obviously your business is going to flourish. And what's nice about the communications sector, and for any of your listeners that are thinking about getting into communications, there are lots of different opportunities within communications. So you have, you know, large sort of global PR agencies, you have mid-sized regional agencies, which is what the Portsmouth Group is, you have agencies that are specialized either in one area of service, so you have agencies that just do crisis management and issues management, as we were discussing earlier, and then you have agencies that focus in one specific area, whether that's financial services or fashion, lifestyle, etc. So there are lots and lots of different ways to cut that pie of the growing pie, I would say. Just this week, if you went down to Arabian Travel Market, if you had a chance to pop down there, you could tell that all of the hotels that are blossoming and opening and all of the major new airline routes that are opening and all of the different tourism authorities that were here in Dubai for that event, all of those organizations need communications. They need PR to reach the different stakeholders that they have regionally and internationally. So those are really healthy and encouraging signs for industries like ours.
And they need people, they need to hire people, they need so many things. It's such an exciting region to be working in, and I think hospitality is just one of many where you're seeing that that growth. But again, I guess, is that kind of the bedrock of your business strategy, is just keeping that quality customer experience alive? Is that the differentiator? That's really the key.
We have a number of differentiators as an agency, and I'm sure, you know, anyone from the PR sector would tell you what their specific one is. But in our case, because we've chosen to focus on a number of specific industries that are very critical to the growth of the Middle East as a region, whether that's retail or hospitality, arts and culture or technology, we have that industry expertise, which is fantastic. So we can really understand the challenges and opportunities that our clients are facing from an industry perspective. So that's one issue. Another thing that's a major differentiator for us is that we've been in the region, you know, in my case for 16 years, and several of my colleagues were either born here in the UAE or have lived there or in the region for substantial portions of their lives. So we really have that understanding of regional nuance and how the markets are different. So how business is conducted in different parts of Saudi Arabia compared to Qatar, compared to Kuwait, places like that. And also that emphasis on quality is not just on the quality of consultancy or advice that we give to clients, which comes from those two previous things, which is industry knowledge and regional knowledge, but also the quality of our writing, just critically, critically important in this region, being able to communicate through the written word, you know, in English or Arabic, and then also in media relations. So those are kind of the main differentiators for an agency like ours.
Is it tough for you to find people who can actually communicate
effectively?
Like, it's really hard.
And not only is it tough for me, I would wager that it's tough for every single person running a communications agency here in the Middle East. It's the number one challenge that any of us faces, because this is a transient market, as we all know, and there are varying degrees of communications effectiveness in the market. And I find, and I have found for the last 16 years, it can be very challenging to find people who are good written communicators, who can put together a solid argument or a solid narrative or storyline or question and answer on behalf of a client, to really understand that client's business and their tone as a company, what their needs and objectives are, and what they're really trying to communicate to their customers and different audiences. So those people who are good writers are like, you know, gold dust. But equally, people need to be able to communicate in a face-to-face and then a one-to-many situation as well.
But they're not really paid well, though, because you can actually get a good writer for cheap.
You can? Please tell me where to find them. Maybe I should call Bobby. Maybe Bobby has like a supply of them on Laymoon.
Laymoon, yeah. I think she probably does.
It's a very subjective thing. So especially in this region, Arabic writing, which is critically, critically important if you consider the demographics of people who live here in the Middle East, they frequently want to be communicated with in Arabic publications, Arabic television broadcasts, radio, exactly as we're doing now. So Arabic writing is very subjective, and it's vitally important if you have a communications agency to find colleagues who are strong Arabic writers. I only know that through the feedback that I get from journalists and from clients to ensure that we're meeting those quality standards.
It's very, very challenging. When, you know, so many people want to start their own business as you have, but there is a fear there that you may not make it in terms of your cash flow, or you may not be able to generate enough clients. On the flip side, as the actual entrepreneur, the things that you actually think are going to be your biggest challenges don't end up being, and it's things you haven't even thought of that blindside you. What are some of the main challenges you faced as you went through those first 12, 24 months in starting your own show?
It's kind of a big joke, actually, with people who know me, because I'm actually quite a reluctant entrepreneur. I don't have a very high appetite for risk. I think that's increased as I've gotten older. And I think part of getting older and maturing is that you care less about what other people think of you, and you care much more about what you think of them. I was very lucky when we started the Portsmouth Group, because I had very strong partners and I had an existing client base. I even had existing colleagues that I was able to sort of migrate to that agency. So it wasn't a true startup in the sense of that word. I had funding in place, et cetera, so that was fantastic. I think sometimes what holds people back is, and certainly held me back, or was something that I had to deal with, is just not necessarily a lack of confidence, but just that nagging question of, can I really do this? Or I'm going to wake up one morning and my clients are going to realize maybe I'm not prepared, or I don't have all the answers. But once you actually, the rubber meets the road, and you're the one walking into the office at 8 o'clock every morning and successfully navigating and managing those different experiences with colleagues, with clients, you realize, I've done most of this before. I can do this properly. I know how to deliver. I know how to meet people's expectations, and grow this business. So sometimes one of your main challenges is your own lack of confidence, and it's critically important that you are able to overcome that.
This is Eileen Wallace, managing partner of the Portsmouth Group. She's sharing her insights into running a PR firm and taking things from ground zero into the stratosphere, where she is now one of the top PR professionals here in the GCC. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips, and we're here with Eileen Wallace, a managing partner for Portsmouth Group. Eileen, welcome back.
Thanks, Shane.
So this is one of your favorite songs. You're a Lynyrd Skynyrd fan.
I'm a total Lynyrd Skynyrd fan. This is what I would call Southern fried rock and roll. It's my heritage.
I didn't know they sang anything besides Sweet Home Alabama.
Well, this is, yeah, this is probably their second most popular, Free Bird, after Free Bird, this is probably their third most popular song.
Ah, okay. So there we go. A little bit of Lynyrd Skynyrd for all those. So well, this is Southern Fried Rock and
Southern
Roll.
Southern Fried Rock and Roll.
Southern Fried Rock and Roll. There you go. So we were just talking about, you know, some of the challenges you took when you first stepped into running your own show and what that was like, and also where some of the big opportunities are in terms of growth within the PR business itself. A lot of that, you know, starting to be social media where one of the growing areas are and where you have to focus on some of your crisis management as you go forward. But what does it take to be successful in the PR game? You know, what do you look for when you're hiring someone in PR?
You know, one of the first questions I ask people who are applying for a job at the Portsmouth Group is whether or not they've ever actually worked in a restaurant. Because I find that people who have been in the food service business usually have excellent time management skills, and they usually have a highly developed sense of how to manage customer expectations. So that is sometimes a great indicator of whether or not someone is going to be a good fit from a PR perspective. Equally,
I wasn't expecting that.
That's why you're looking at me with your mouth hanging open.
I know. It's like, okay. But
absolutely,
that's good.
Absolutely. Okay. Have you ever been a waiter or waitress? A waiter, obviously.
I've been
not a waitress.
I'm a very good waitress. I am an excellent waitress. I'm so good when I'm a waitress.
No, but if you have ever been a waiter or waitress for any of your listeners, you learn how to deal with people. You learn how to manage your time. All the dishes are coming out at different times. You have customers of different sizes, picky people, laid back people, cranky people, people who try to run out on the bill. And it helps you learn how to manage different personalities, people from different backgrounds, and that can be critically important in our sector. Another thing, as we highlighted earlier, writing skills and communication skills. So everyone who applies for a job with the Portsmouth Group takes a writing test and does a writing sample for us. So we see some idea of their ability to get an
idea across. You're like, you have 1 hour.
No.
An essay.
No, I have to trust them, although I am aware of agencies that, yes, make you sit down and do a writing test. No, I mean, I trust people. If I'm considering bringing them into the agency, I have to be able to trust them enough to produce an individual piece of writing and not have someone else write it on their behalf.
But people only type now, right? Like, you can't actually write anymore. Like, if you sit there and actually try to write longhand, your hand starts cramping up because not used to it.
When I came to Dubai in 1998, I applied for a job at a PR agency, which is still in existence, with a guy who is now running a different PR agency, and he had me do a writing test sitting in front of him, longhand like that, write a press release, and that was stuck in my mind vividly. But ability to, so industry knowledge, it can be very important if you have experience in one specific sector, ideally one of the sectors in which we are currently operating, or a new one into which we could potentially grow, that would be beneficial. Ability to write, as I said. This ability to communicate how you have managed through tricky situations previously. So, you know, where you can demonstrate to me or to some of our partners that you've had been in a professional situation that was challenging for you and you managed to turn it around. So that can be very convincing. Regional experience is always a bonus. So, as I said, someone who speaks great Arabic or who was previously based in a market like Saudi Arabia or Qatar can be very beneficial for us. They may have contacts and obviously experience in those markets. And then last but not least, I need some demonstration that you've had a work ethic. And the waiter and waitress part goes back to that. But, you know, I need to see evidence of some hustle, that you're ready to get out of bed, you know, get into the office at 8 o'clock in the morning wearing your suit and tie and having shaved, and that you're keen and you
get hungry.
Absolutely. I mean, I think, unfortunately, sometimes in this market, people can get a bit complacent and they're used to potential employers coming to them. And I like to see people with initiative who know something about my business and know something about communications in the region and are keen to come and have coffee with me and talk about it.
Personally, I think that, you know, in PR, it would be one of the easier industries for someone starting out to get a footing, because you can write. You just you go ahead and write. And if you want to write something, you have all the free zones have little newsletters. There's, you know, you don't have to write for the Times or you know, great, all the power to you if you can, but it's really not that difficult. to get something published, you know, as you just go down the food chain, or get your own blog, or just start writing your own white paper and put it out there. You know, we had one of the papers that we wrote for, you know, how to rewrite interview guides and stuff like that, and we had like 1,000 hits in 1 month on one of them, and you know, that immediately tells you either it's good or it's not. You know, the web will tell you.
Yeah, I mean, there's writing and then there's good writing. So at the Portsmouth Group, we're definitely looking for people who have demonstrated writing skills and ideally solid writing skills in English and initially in Arabic. But people who take initiative of the type that you're talking about, that they feel passionate about writing, they feel passionate about communication, so they're just going to go ahead and go for it regardless of whether or not it's financially rewarding for them. Yeah, that would be something beneficial that you could potentially bring to an agency. You don't need a professional degree like a law degree or a medical degree, so there's a relatively low barrier to entry from that perspective. And, you know, colleagues and I have laughed about it. Yeah, I know lots of people who have opened PR agencies. It's become sort of a trend in some ways. Like, people, what are you doing? Oh, I'm opening a restaurant. I'm opening a PR agency. I'm opening a gym. But again, the ones that are good and that are delivering what clients need are the ones that will still be here in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years.
And those people who get on it, because when you have problems in your company, you don't want those people sitting around saying, oh, you know, what are we going to do? You want someone who's just going to throw themselves at it, get things moving, get on the ball, get that hustle going.
Absolutely. Well, the hustle is critically important. Problem solving, I would say, is a key element of what PR agencies like the Portsmouth Group does, because we need to really understand what our clients' business challenges are at a strategic level, and then also on sort of an operation and day-to-day level. And only when we understand those challenges can we really create informed communications plans and strategies for them. So if you've got that hustle and you've got that initiative and you're learning and you're taking away the pain of your client, which really is a key part of what communications is, then obviously you're going to be a very valued and trusted partner to that person and to that wider organization.
And so when you move forward now with the business, I mean, on one hand, you know, I think you could make a great living doing PR, but the problem is it's very tough to get scale, right? For you to grow, you have to clone yourself.
No, we
don't have the technology yet.
That would be nice. Not necessarily. Sometimes we liken it to sort of being a dentist or being in some sort of medical professional, in that you can build a practice of like-minded professionals who either can deliver services that you yourself can possibly not deliver, or they can deliver services to a similar level to those which you can deliver. So if I am running my agency, but I'm a sole proprietor and I'm the only consultant in the agency, yes, I would probably struggle from a financial perspective, but I'm really lucky in that I've been able to bring on board, you know, 20 plus, 25 plus fantastic consultants from all different backgrounds, all different skill sets, different, you know, educational achievements and with good industry knowledge. So those team members have been really vital in helping me and helping the Portsmouth Group grow as an agency.
Excellent. So what's been the biggest challenge for you when you look back on everything you've done as a businesswoman and from a business perspective? Has there been any dark moments for the Portsmouth Group, or any challenges where you're like, my God, this is a little bit overwhelming?
they're in public relations, there are always overwhelming moments. I think you just breathe deeply and count to 10, or go grab yourself a coffee quickly and, you know, step away from your computer or step away from your phone for a second. Main challenges, I was actually talking to a potential client today over coffee and was reflecting that actually, despite the fact that we lived through, you know, these sort of challenging economic times that everybody had maybe sort of 4 or 5 years ago, the business has grown exponentially. Maybe one of our challenges has been finding that talent as quickly as we needed to so we could grow and take advantage of all the opportunities that we've had. So I think our growth has been very measured. It's been very strategic. And because of that, you know, in the leaner times in the market that everybody experienced, we didn't have to downsize. We didn't have to lay people off. We continued to grow in a very sort of steady and measured way. From a personal perspective, the only challenge I suppose I've had, and it's a challenge I think that almost every woman who works and has kids, you know, I have 2 kids, a 10-year-old and a 12-year-old, is just when you're at home, you know, you're thinking about things you forgot to do in the office or that you didn't get a chance to do in the office. And when you're in the office, you know, you're trying to get out on time to go watch your children play soccer or perform in the school play or any other demands like that. So it's a constant balancing act. You're never, and PR, to say it is not firefighting, it is not life-saving, although it feels like it sometimes, but you can't, it's very challenging to step away from. There's never a good moment to step away from it because, as I said, you become very integral to your client's business, and that's a good thing. The more they trust you and rely on you, you really become embedded within their business and you become a trusted advisor to their organization. But that can make it tough just from a balancing act perspective. But I'm sure there are lots of moms and also dads out there who have faced the same issues.
The same time, I guess, as a PR firm, your cash flows must be very cyclical because you're great, big projects, and effectively you're selling your time.
It is time. Everything that we do, every piece of writing that we deliver, every, you know, strategic meeting that we have, every media training that we deliver, every press conference that we host, or, you know, major event for which we provide press services, those all come down to hours, consultants' hours, admin hours, my hours, et cetera. So that's exactly how we bill. Fortunately, another thing that makes the Portsmouth Group different from some of the agencies in the market, we tend to have client relationships that last a long time. So I have clients who have been on the books for sort of 7, 8, 9 years, which is also almost unheard of, frankly, in this region. And that's great. And the way that we work with the majority of our clients is on annual retainers. So it's better for them because they can anticipate what their PR spend is going to be throughout the whole year and, you know, balance that out with their budget. And then it's good for us because obviously we can then forecast in terms of employee compensation and rent and all of those other wonderful things that we need to pay for. And then to complement that, we do have big annual projects that come up, whether those are art fairs or design events or fashion events, etc. And we do, we're of a sufficient size and also still kind of fresh and hungry enough that we do take on projects from time to time, maybe for smaller or quirkier clients and where we see an opportunity to learn something and grow or also help someone else that may be just starting out their business.
This is Eileen Wallace, managing partner of the Portsmouth Group. She is one businesswoman who's on the move, one of the top PR professionals here in the GCC. She's going to be sharing her secrets to success coming up next, what she thinks it takes to be successful. What are the top traits of a top performer in PR? So stay with us. Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. We're here with some Southern Fried Rock and Roll and Eileen Wallace, managing partner from the Portsmouth Group. Eileen, welcome back to Eye on Careers.
Thank you, Shane.
I just love saying that. Southern Fried Rock and Roll.
It's going to stick with you, I suspect.
Southern Fried is, you know, just so good, right?
Absolutely. You know? We love to fry every little thing.
Everything's good fried. Everything tastes better fried.
Apparently Mars bars as well. That's what my Scottish friends tell me.
Mars bars, I've heard that. Yeah, Mars bars. And actually, my friend eats Mars bars frozen. I don't know if you've ever had a frozen one.
I don't like frozen chocolate. I'm not down with it. I'd like a little bit melted is my strategy.
But have you had the Mars bar frozen?
I have not. See, I've had Mars bar ice cream. I think that's something different, though.
Yeah, but the Mars bar frozen is actually really good. But I'm with you. I don't normally like. Normally, chocolate tastes better almost just before melting.
Straight
like
up.
You said.
Absolutely.
Like you said, I've totally forgotten what we're supposed to
I think it's my secrets for success, which I'm racking my brain over.
Okay, so nobody comes on the show without being asked what's their secret to success.
Eye on Careers now reveals the secrets to success.
Eileen, what's your secret to success?
I absolutely love what I do, and the truth is I would do it for free.
Eye on Careers.
In association with LeMoon.com, jobs, courses, and all things career.
I think all your clients now are going to negotiate on your fee.
Yes, but I can't pay my colleagues, so if all of our services are free.
They'll be like, I think she'd do it for free. That's not true though, is it?
If I would see that at some point in the future of my life, after I'm done putting my children through school and helping my colleagues achieve their career and their own financial objectives, that I probably would do a lot of pro bono PR work in my twilight years. Absolutely. I'm super passionate about it. I absolutely love it. It's like oxygen to me.
Well, I mean, let's say you won $100 million.
Yes, Austin Powers. Yes, okay. You are wearing an Austin Powers suit.
No, that was
$1 million.
No, okay. He was $1 million.
Okay.
But this is 100 million. This is 100 times more Austin Powers.
Okay.
Would you, you're telling me you're not going to quit your job?
Absolutely not.
Oh,
no,
my God.
I'm sure you and your listeners have this conversation with your significant others, your spouses, your friends. If I were a woman of independent means, which sadly I'm not, I would absolutely still get out of bed and do some sort of communications work because I truly love it. And I'm told that I'm good at it. And when you're good at something, you get a tremendous, and you feel like you are helping people, which I do feel like I'm doing, not only helping my clients, which gives me tremendous satisfaction. I'm also helping my colleagues and my team, you know, achieve their goals and learn something and make some money. I'm addicted to that aspect of the job. I absolutely love it.
Well, I think one of the key takeaways for me was you just said is that you're good at it. And I think when you're really good at something, you become passionate about it.
Absolutely. You have to develop that. I mean, if you look at professional golfers, they go out and hit thousands of golf balls a day. So in my industry, in the PR industry and at the Portsmouth Group, that means that I can't outsource all of the different aspects of the job. I mean, I still have to know what it's like to pick up the phone and call a journalist who may not necessarily want to hear from me on a specific topic. I still have to do some writing, keep my hand in on that. I absolutely, on a daily basis, have to sit with clients and advise them on what I think they should be doing from a communication strategy perspective. So I'm keeping my hand in on all those things, and I love all of those different elements of the job. And they keep it, there's always something new and interesting, whether it's an industry or an opportunity or a thorny challenge, communication problem that someone is having, and I love getting my teeth into it and helping them solve those issues.
I love that phrase, a thorny challenge.
And knotty, those come up really on a daily basis, and ideally my colleagues and the team members at the Portsmouth Group are able to do that too, because as you said earlier, if it were just me, I wouldn't have enough hours in the day to do it. But having a great team who are as passionate in many ways as I am about what we do, and seeing the results that we get for our clients, actually seeing that coverage when it comes out, you know, I'm not just saying this because we're sitting in your studio, our clients love to come on Dubai Eye. They love to come on the Business Breakfast. They love to come on the Drive Show, some of the other afternoon shows, and seeing the adrenaline rush that they get when they come. They're so happy when they come out of the studio. That's thrilling for us.
It is definitely a good experience. But it's hard to find the studio though for the first time.
I can get to it in my sleep now.
So passion. But I think the other thing you really talked about, which I think is lacking, is that initiative. You know, taking that initiative, jumping on something, having that hunger. So many people, they sit there and they say, oh, I can't get a job in PR. I go, well, have you written something? Do you have a story in your back pocket? Are you working on something? And it's like, no, 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 and no.
Absolutely. If you really want to be in the PR industry, obviously there are skills that you can develop in terms of your writing skills, in terms of your industry knowledge, but in terms of your people skills, your own communications, your ability to sell yourself to your potential employer in the same way that you're going to sell stories to journalists. But at the Portsmouth Group, we absolutely look for and reward and are excited by people with initiative, people with hustle, and that tenacity. I think you used one of my very favorite words earlier, tenacity. A lot of what we do is tenacity. It requires that tenacity of convincing clients about the advice that we're giving them. It's about convincing people through various forms of communication, written and spoken communications, about convincing journalists that we have a great story for them that their readers or their listeners want to know about. So you got to have that stick-with-it-ness element of your personality.
It seems like this is one area, communication, where executives just ignore it. And in fact, the more senior you get, 90 to 100% of your job becomes just only that. Communication. Yes, that's all you're doing.
If you ignore, right? You would ignore it at your peril, Shane. So the smartest executives, the CEOs, the C-suite executives are the ones that really appreciate the power of communications, either because they've been badly burned, they've seen what can go wrong when communications is mishandled, or ideally, they've seen the uptick in their business and in their customers and their partners when they communicate effectively. And so they recognize the power of communications. They're ready to invest in it. They're ready to learn from people who want to advise them. Those are the people we love working with.
And I mean, I think it's not only on a big scale, but even on a small scale. You know, someone's going for a job interview and they don't even practice. You know, generally 60% of the questions you're going to be asked in that interview, and they don't practice. Record yourself. Listen to how you're communicating. How are you? You are a brand. You and everybody is their own brand. How are you communicating your own brand story? What's that narrative sound like? And people just put on the back burner and they go, oh, and get in there and try to wing it. well, you know, you know, that's one of the most important messaging stories of your life, and you're not putting any effort into it?
Shane, I'm so impressed, because what you have just said is exactly what we advise clients when we're working with them from a media training perspective, that why should people think that they don't need to prepare for media interviews? They need to anticipate the types of questions that they're going to be asked. They need to come up with those key messages that they're determined to get across in that situation. And I frequently compare it to a job interview, that like a job interview, you wouldn't ask your potential employer, what are the questions that you're going to ask me? You would anticipate what they are, and you would come up with some good, compelling answers to the positive questions, and you would figure out how you're going to navigate around the potentially sticky, thorny questions that you're going to get.
Thorny areas.
Exactly, exactly. And that's how you get from point A to point B in a job interview, in a media interview. It's having those key messages, those rocks, and sticking to it and being prepared, taking time and recognizing it's an important moment and it requires some time and attention.
What is your final piece of advice for anybody out there who wants to make it in the PR game?
Learn how to communicate effectively. Work on your writing skills. Anyone who is a good writer will always be able to find a job, because every whether it's through digital communications, social communications, traditional print communications, broadcast communications, everyone has to communicate. Everyone has to tell a story. So if you are an accomplished and compelling storyteller, you will always be able to find some sort of job.
Well, thank you so much, Eileen, for coming out and sharing your insights with us. And we wish you all the success with and I look forward to continuing to watch the Portsmouth Group blossom here in the GCC.
It's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me, Shane.
That is Eileen Wallace, Managing Partner of Portsmouth Group. And earlier on the show, we had Hulk Hogan, Macho Man Randy Savage, and Bobby Hartshorn from LeMoon.com, your career channel, all bringing you the latest insights into managing your career. Coming up, we are going to be having an automotive segment with some of the top managing directors and directors from leading car organizations. Trevor Hill, Managing Director for Audi Volkswagen Middle East, and the Director for Ford Middle East and North Africa, will be sharing their insights into the auto market. And we'll also be joined by Jack Montgomery, a leading executive search consultant here in the region, who is very active in placing some of the top automotive executives into those top jobs. So we'll be finding out how to get those saucy seven-figure cushy jobs, the C-suite, as Eileen describes them. So stay up. This is going to be a bang-up hour. So stay with us. We'll be right back.